You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. All right, let's do this thing. We got a ton of stuff to get to, a ton of topics, ton of guests, a ton of hot takes, and a ton of picks. Football season is rapidly approaching. We actually have a couple of football games on tap tonight. We've got a preseason NFL game. And you guys know I'm like the biggest degenerate. I'm probably the biggest degenerate on television, actually. Like, I actually back it up. There are a lot of guys on TV that bet and do bet on sports. I'm not going to throw them under the bus, but they're laying it down. They're betting pretty big units on games. But they're not up at like 4 in the morning betting on the Filipino D-League, the basketball D-League like I am. No, you know, I bet on it. I can tell you about it. I can tell you. You want to know about the Japanese Baseball League? Who do you want to know about? You want to know about Chechny? Hiroshima? Who do you know? We can break it all down. But even me, I don't even want to bet the NFL week four of the preseason, and I don't. Although I'm taking a look at tonight's game, I'm like, should I give a pick? Nah, we'll pass. It's one of these brutal-ass games, man. It really is. It's a waste of time, but nevertheless, we got a ton of stuff to get to. We got real football, CFL game, and then we got a full slate of college football tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Then next Thursday, the NFL season start. Football is here. Mark Lawrence is here as well. Playbook.com's Mark Lawrence. We're going to talk some college football with Mark Lawrence. We're going to talk about the independents slipped through the cracks when we did the conference previews, but we didn't forget them. There's only three of them. So we're going to take a look at the three indies that are left on the board and their games this week. It's like, you know, it's basically like a starving man walking into a buffet in Vegas. You're like, you don't even know where to start. And like talking college football, it's like, I don't know, where do you even start? You want to talk Oklahoma, Houston? You want to talk LSU, Wisconsin? You want to talk Kansas State and Stanford? You want to talk Clemson? You want to talk Clemson and Auburn? How about Alabama and USC? How about Michigan and Hawaii? You know, like, I'm looking, I'm like, damn, I can't talk about all these games. But we're going to break down as many games as we can with Mark Lawrence. Cam Stewart in studio. Always cool when the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart joins me live in studio. Greg Sussman, SportsGrid.com. Roto expert Greg Sussman will join me as the sky continues to fall. Now, I've told you guys time and time and time and time again, I've repeated this, you can't hold your fantasy football league drafts before week three of the preseason is done. And I saw people crying and bitching and moaning online. Oh, Romo's out. I got Dez Bryant. Oh, I took Romo. Oh. And I'm thinking to myself, well, it's on you. You know, you got to wait until week four of the preseason. I've been in drafts all week long, yet sometimes the fantasy football gods can deal a very cruel hand. And Teddy Bridgewater was dealt a cruel hand. Yet, let's be honest right now. It's not as though Teddy Bridgewater was flying off of people's draft boards. I've been in three leagues so far. I haven't seen one person take Teddy Bridgewater. Nobody's taking Teddy Bridgewater. The bigger concern is, how does this affect AP? I don't think it affects AP at all. Really, at all. Like, zero impact. But we'll break that down on the show today. But zero impact, in my opinion, as far as AP. What about Diggs? What about Treadwell? Well, the question is, maybe Sean Hill is actually a better pocket passer than Teddy Bridgewater is at this juncture of Teddy's career. Now, let me be clear. I am a Teddy Bridgewater guy. I like Teddy Bridgewater. If I was a head coach in the National Football League, I'd have no problem with Teddy Bridgewater being my quarterback. If I was a general manager in the NFL, I have no problem. I think Teddy Bridgewater is a winner. I think the kid's smart. I think he gets it. And I think he'll win a lot of football games in his career. But there's a difference between being a great, real quarterback and fantasy quarterback, as we all know. But what I find amusing about this are the same idiots, and Teddy's been getting bashed forever. The same idiots that are always bashing Teddy Bridgewater. Never mind the fact that the play calling, the weapons, everything's conservative. It's not like they have a ton of weapons in Minnesota. So the same people are like, Teddy Bridgewater sucks. They win despite him. He's terrible. Oh, Teddy Bridgewater. There's always like the pot shots at Teddy Bridgewater. Now these are the same idiots that are saying the Minnesota Vikings can't win without Teddy Bridgewater. The Minnesota Vikings can win without Teddy Bridgewater. It doesn't mean that Bridgewater is terrible. But Mike Zimmer, yeah, he might not be in love with Sean Hill. And we've got breaking news. Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's coming out of retirement to play for the Minnesota Vikings. That's what the media is saying. the same jackass media types that were saying that Teddy Bridgewater sucks. Now they're screwed. Now they're going to be Peyton Manning. Is this really? Are we going to do this? Yeah, are we going to do this? I know we went through this with Brett Favre. And at this point, I think Brett Favre might be better than Peyton Manning, actually. I think, like, if you want, you know, bring back Brett Favre then. Peyton Manning's hanging around with Lionel Richie right now, sitting in a bathrobe doing commercials, making nachos, getting ready to watch NFL games. He's not ready to play in the National Football League, all right? I don't want to go through this every time a quarterback goes down that Peyton Manning's coming back, all right? Peyton Manning ain't coming back. Brett Favre isn't coming back. But the Minnesota Vikings might go another route and get another quarterback. But, you know, I guess I can't be surprised about the insanity of the media, as things are getting pretty crazy right now. And it's amazing the timing, because wouldn't a guy like, I don't know, Colin Kaepernick be a perfect fit for the Minnesota Vikings right now? Seriously. You got a guy that's been in a Super Bowl. You got a guy that's been at NFC Conference Championship games. You got a guy that's going to be available. You know, Colin Kaepernick would be a good fit if he wasn't pissing off mainstream America by refusing to stand for the national anthem. And you know what? They play games on Sunday, September the 11th. And I'm thinking, oh, dear God, no. No, no. Is Kaepernick really not going to stand on September the 11th? They can't have him. Now, they play on the 12th, the Monday. But they're still going to honor the troop. They're still going to do the same thing. Like, they can't have Kaepernick on the field, all right? Like, not standing during the 9/11 ceremony. Like, then, like, Kaepernick's a security risk. Like, they're going to rush the field and kill this guy. So it's to the point right now, Kaepernick's trolling everybody. Shows up at a press conference yesterday wearing a Fidel Castro t-shirt. He knows what he's doing. Yeah, he knows. You know, I posted on Twitter last week. I don't know if anyone watches Better Call Saul. But there's an episode in Better Call Saul where Jimmy's working for a law firm, but he wants out. But he doesn't want to quit because he doesn't want to give him the money back. So he starts just taking big, fat, stinky dumps in, like, the boss's toilet, and he's not flushing. And he's doing it repeatedly, and he admits that to it. This is what Colin Kaepernick's doing. He's just, like, taking a big dump on the San Francisco 49ers. Think about that. You're in the middle of a big-ass controversy. Yeah, what shirt will I wear today? Dress shirt? Nike tracksuit? No, let's go with the Fidel Castro. Evidently, the Kim Jong-un tracksuit wasn't clean enough for him to bust out. The only thing crazier than this Kaepernick deal thing right now is NFL GMs are saying that Kaepernick is blackballed from the NFL and that he's the most vilified guy and hated guy and most unwanted guy since Ray Carruth. Ray Carruth killed people. So you're telling me that it's okay to put guns in a woman's mouth, to beat up your wife, to allegedly kill people, to beat up teenagers, to drink and drive, to commit adultery, are all better things than not standing for the national anthem. But that's the world that we live in right now. The only thing crazier than drafting your fantasy football league players before the week 3 of the preseason are the people that actually cover the damn league. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and, you know, I'll be painfully honest with you. We feel all like we're rattled today. We feel like we're a step behind, and, you know, I got to blame fantasy football, to be honest with you. I'm in a million drafts and high-stakes drafts. I'm trying to get ready for games. I'm going to Las Vegas in a couple of days. There's only 24 hours in a day. And I got an invite from Mike Cardano, Roto expert. Mike Cardano joins us on the show here at Fantasy Sports Network's very own. It's got some tournament going on, Pros versus Joes. I don't know what the hell this is. So it's like me, Cardano, Engel, against like high school kids and stuff like that. Or I don't know. I shouldn't say that because we're playing for money. So I shouldn't say we're playing against. We're not playing against high school kids for money. No. Take that back. But anyways, I don't know. Whatever. I think it's like a baseball team or something, like a little league team. Recreational purposes only, of course. But like hell, I play in free fantasy leagues. But anyway, so I'm in a high stakes fantasy league Thursday night. I'm going to Vegas like overnight, early in the morning Friday. Like, honestly, I look at the next 72 hours. I think I'm going to sleep like maybe 4 hours or something like that. I got a high-stake fantasy league. Cardano wants me in another league. And they're at the same time. Like, there's an hour difference. I told Cardano, I can't be in two fantasy drafts at once. And you know what? His answer was so good, I have to do it now. He said, if George Costanza can have sex, watch TV, and eat a pastrami sandwich at once, you can be in two football drafts at once. And I was like, you know, Mike, that's pretty much the smartest thing you've ever said in your life. So, yeah, I got to show up for this. All right, so yeah, we're excited about going to Vegas. We're now joined by a man who made the trip last week to Las Vegas, Nevada. Mr. Mark Lawrence, Playbook.com's Mark Lawrence. Always a pleasure, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific, Gabe. Always a pleasure to be with you. And just one quick note of advice when you get ready for your fantasy drafts, make sure there's no soup Nazis that are in attendance at that draft.
Well, you know what? There's pick Nazis at the draft. There's always some son of a bitch that's like, I swear to God, last night I was in a draft like three times in a row. The same guy took the same player. I was like, and I knew he was going to do it. Like at some point, like I wish I had like, you know, I wish I could have like hacked his computer mid-draft or something.
Well, advantage you, I would say that for sure when it comes to sports fantasy stuff. You and the sports fantasy crew do a great job.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we try. I got to get some more sleep. Maybe I'll be doing a better job, Mark. But you know what it's like, man. I don't have to tell you. You know, you work around the clock. You're doing the playbook and stuff. But it really is. We'll get used to it. But this first week of college, it's a little overwhelming, isn't it? Even though, like, you've been in the business longer than me, but I've been doing this a hell of a long time now. And that first sort of initial, you know, run here, it's sort of like, whoa, there's a lot of games on the board.
Unbelievable. You know, it's, and I think a lot of it's due to the ESPN, and what they've done is they demanded these good college football games early in the season rather than, you know, that we used to get the slop, if you will, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But now we're getting some marquee games to kick off the season, and, you know, with these non-conference schedules that they have to beef up if they want to build up their itinerary through the season, we're benefiting from right now, and there's a pretty good card on tap this first week.
No, you're right. I remember in the old days, it would basically be couple of real patsies, then a decent non-conference game, then your conference games. But you're right. And then we lived in an era where only a couple of teams were bold enough to step up to the window and say, you know what, yeah, we'll take this game. We'll play against Alabama in week one. But you're right. Now we see all kinds of SEC, Big Ten throwdowns, ACC, SEC teams willing to put their season on the line in week one. So let's get to some college football talk here. You and I broke down every conference. The Indies fell through the cracks, but there's only three Indies now. And as you wrote, and then there were three as Navy, now part of the American Athletic Conference. So we've got Army, BYU and Notre Dame, and even Notre Dame is somewhat of an ACC school right now. Independents are nearly a thing of the past.
Well, that if we can maybe say four, if you want to count Massachusetts, who's bowed out of the MAC conference. So,
oh, yeah, that's right.
You know,
and right we now, should know New Mexico State's getting booted out of the Sun Belt. So next year in Idaho, right, there'll be a couple of more.
Yeah, there'll be a plethora of independent teams. None of them any good, but nonetheless, there'll be a few more teams probably playing independent football. And not a lot you can chew on here other than the fact that Notre Dame rules the roost, as you would expect they would do, and probably a pretty good BYU team as well.
All right, so let's start off with Army. Army's only had one winning season in 20 years. They're a terrible road team. 0-20 straight up, 1-19 against the spread, their last 20 true road games. They got five starters returning, respectively, on both sides of the football. And they opened up in Philadelphia against Temple, Mark, and the point spread is 16.5. Now, Temple's national reputation and perception is not of an explosive offense, but, you know, Army get blown out by the Eastern Michigans of the world on the road. I know this point spread might be a little short, actually. Wouldn't shock me at all to see Temple win by 21, 24, or 28.
Well, Temple got off to that great start last football season. As you know, they ran the table their first seven games, and it ultimately ended up in a 10-win season for the Owls. I think they're salivating playing Army opening the season this year. Army had so many one-possession losses last year. They lost seven games by a touchdown or less last year, and that wears on a football team. And taking out on the road also wears on the Black Knights. They've won just one of the last 25 road games. I'm with you. I think Temple wins this football game in a rout.
All right, let's talk about another independent school who, yeah, they shouldn't be independent. You know, if I'm They should, if they're not in the Pac-12, and they should have been, like, who would have been better, Colorado or BYU for the Pac-12? BYU is a perfect Pac-12 school. But if not, you know, they used to play their basketball and the football in the Mountain West. They'd be better off playing that schedule, and they'd be kings in the Mountain West. Now they're sort of floating out there, trying to get in the Big 12. I don't know. BYU to the Big 12 just feels weird to me. So, you know, it's the first time in a long time that Bronco Mendenhall is not on the sidelines, too.
Yeah, first time in a long time. He takes off to Virginia, does Mendenhall, and a pretty good record, 97-57 with BYU. That's terrific. Kalani Sitake takes over now for BYU, and he's got big, big shoes to fill here. There's no doubt about that. And he's also got a horrible football schedule. You look up and down their schedule here. My goodness, only Southern Cal plays a more difficult schedule than does BYU this football season here. I think the good news for them is the fact that they've got two quarterbacks that either could start and feel comfortable. You put all that around five returning offensive linemen, I think this offense will be on the attack this year.
Yeah, BYU schedule. I think the Falcons have it. I think the Atlanta Falcons have an easier schedule. Like, that's the thing with BYU. You want to talk about teams that don't duck anybody. And it's to the extreme, though, Mark, because they're always trying to, like, oh, you know, we should be in a big conference. We're not, we'll play anybody anywhere, anytime, because they don't have that TV deal. So they want to get these big TV games. But it's almost overkill, Mark, because every year it's the same thing with BYU. They're a solid football team. They're a good football team. It's a solid program. But they get worn out and they get beat up physically and they have a ton of injuries because they're playing a slaughterhouse schedule every year.
That's exactly what it is. You got 10 teams on their schedule this year that had winning records last year, going up against 9 bowl teams right out of the gate. So it's going to be very, very difficult for this football team to, like you say, sustain for the season here. I think they'll play with a lot of energy and a lot of emotion under first-year head coach Sitake here, but look for it to come to an end. They're going to go to Cincinnati after playing Boise State back-to-back road games. That could signal the end for the Cougars this football season.
Yeah, meanwhile, Michigan's hosting Hawaii this weekend. Like, yeah, well, it's Hawaii. So we got a fun football game here. So they have two good quarterbacks here, Tanner Mangum and Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill wins the quarterback battle. He's going to be the starting quarterback against Arizona. Something I think is sort of being lost in this is Jamal Williams is back, Mark. Hell of a running back, pardon the pun, in Mormon country here. But the kid, I don't know what he did, violated team rules. So I don't know. I guess he either had sex or he drank a Mountain Dew. He got kicked off the team for a year. But he's back right now. But he's a real good football player. They got some good skill position players. The question is, do they have the team speed to hang around with an Arizona Wildcat team for 60 minutes?
Well, that'll be the question. I think what benefits them a little bit is the fact that both of these quarterbacks being back, I mentioned 5 offensive linemen, actually 3 starters, but 2 guys that missed the entire season last year, so you can technically say 5 offensive linemen back. And I love their defense here, Gabe. They've really improved hugely last football season. Almost 50 yards a game did the defense improve. If they can keep that intact, I think they'll give Arizona a game. I think this game comes right down to who scores last.
Yeah, what do you make of the total? You know, sitting at 60.5, I'm sure some people think it's a little high, but it should be a track meet. They're going to go up and down the field, and you and I are both expecting big things from, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I remember we talked about the kid, Bishop Gorman's new Solomon. You know, healthy right now, he's banged up, and it was third year. I expect big things from Solomon this year.
I do, too. Arizona's chomping at the bit to get out of the gate to make amends for last year's injury-ravaged season as well. So I'm with you. I think this is going to be a track meet, a pretty well-lit scoreboard in this football game.
You know what? Rich Rod, pretty impressive, though, isn't he? 20-4 straight up, according to the database, and 6-0 against 6-0 last 6 season openers.
Yeah, he's done real, real well that way. And, you know, you're going to have a hungry football team there. There's no question. And you think that maybe BYU without Mendenhall might be a little bit lost here. But a lot of talent on this Cougar football team. And being the independent here, I think they'll want to go toe-to-toe with Notre Dame for honors, the kings of the independents.
Yeah, I tell you what, this game just could be one of these fun back-and-forth games. The over might be the best play. Let's talk about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Some people think this team is a national championship contender. 16-1 to win a national championship. 5-1 to make the playoff. They're absolutely loaded. 17 starters. But as you wrote, Mark, they've got like 31 kids, actually, who actually started games last year. if you want to multiply it by guys that have played games, we're getting into the, about 140 or 143 or something like that. They have two quarterbacks that could be starters on basically any team in the country. And I thought it was sort of a, not a no-brainer, but I thought Kizer was the guy. But Kelly's going with the dual-headed monster here in this game. A lot of times they say, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one good one. That's not the case with Notre Dame. Kelly said, hey, I'm going to play it as the game goes, and whoever's basically, you know, matches up better against the defense as the game's going along, he'll play more. And a similar situation, we don't know who the starting is going to be for Texas either.
No, you've got that situation we just spoke about, BYU having two great quarterbacks. Notre Dame, the same thing. So sometimes it can be a problem when two quarterbacks end up causing dissension and dividing the football team. But he's got great options in Kizer and Zaire here this football season here. And remember, Brian Kelly, he's kind of under the radar, if you will. Only Bob Stoops and Urban Meyer have won more football games than has Brian Kelly since 2001. He's number three on that win list. So this football team knows how to win football games. My big concern here is their schedule is a little bit salty. You look at all six home games are against teams that were in bowl games last season. They're going to have to protect that home turf if they want to win 10 games again this year.
You know, the point spread has been sitting at three for quite a while. There was this, the arrest with Notre Dame, but there was no impact as far as the, any starters were concerned for this football game. Notre Dame now 3.5. I know, and we got to encourage people to get Mark Lawrence's playbook. According to the playbook, you think this number is pretty accurate right now. You know, they beat them 38-3 last year. I just don't see how Texas beats this team. I like Notre Dame here, Mark.
Well, Texas is a little bit beat up right now, as we're speaking to, Gabe. They've lost three offensive linemen to injuries here this past week. Now, the question is whether or not any of these guys will suit up in the football game. If they don't play, this could be a one-way street for the Irish. If they do play, I'm looking for a big year from Texas this year. And if they're healthy, I think this game could well come down to the wire. That's why we said in playbook that the game is at three. I think it's right on the number.
Yeah, you know, in week one, you never know. All right, we've only got a couple of minutes here, so camera number three is a huge Clemson Tiger fan. He went down there last week, brought me back a shirt. I'll get it in the rotation soon enough. But Clemson, so we got to talk a little Clemson here, and we'll break down this game more later in the week as well. Clemson are laying 7.5 at Auburn. A couple of numbers that jumped out at me here. The fact that Auburn's lost seven straight games to ACC opponents caught my eye. Auburn just 1-5 against the spread the last six season lid lifters as well. Meanwhile, you got Clemson. Yeah, they lost some talent, but they also are still loaded. And they have arguably the best college quarterback in the game, with Deshaun Watson. Tigers versus Tigers. Clemson lays 7.5.
It's a really, really good football game. Initially, before we tore this down for the newsletter this week, we were siding with the Auburn Tigers. But the more we looked, the more we liked the other Tiger, the invading Clemson Tigers, in the football game. They've still got this unfinished business chip on their shoulder here. And I think Deshaun Watson is going to want to certify himself as being the leading Heisman Trophy winner right out of the gate. I think Malzahn's got some problems here right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Clemson Tiger goes home with the cabbage in this football game.
All right, one more Tiger. One more Tiger, then we get you out of here, Mark. The LSU Tigers. this game's flying under the radar. We didn't even get that USC in Alabama and everything. We can't get it on the mall. But this game is an attractive one, flying under the radar with all these other big high-profile games. Saturday afternoon contest. And the venue's awesome. Lambeau. They're playing at Lambeau, home of the Green Bay Packers. Wisconsin, LSU. LSU are laying 10. I like this Tiger team a lot this year, but double digits, first game in the state of Wisconsin. Hey, is this a landmine that LSU are walking into here?
Gabe, it's a reverse of when teams from up north go down south and they find out how difficult it can be in that environment. I think LSU is going to see the same thing up in cheese country when they go to Wisconsin here. You got to look at Wisconsin here, 73-9 in the state of Wisconsin, only one loss by more than 10 points in those 82 football games. That makes them 81-1 to the number. I like 81-1. I'll take the double digits with the Badgers in this contest.
Yeah, and a little icing on the cake here. Les Miles, 0-4 against the spread last four games. when laying seven or more on the road. We got to get out of here, but check out playbook.com and playbook.com games as well. New sports fantasy app. It's going to be great, great stuff. We encourage people to check it out. And just go over to Playbook, and you'll see all about it. Thanks, thanks for the time, Mark.
Hey, my pleasure. Games. Enjoy the games and have a good trip in Vegas.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got Greg Sussman, Cam Stewart, more picks. We got all kinds of stuff coming up. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Man, it's like the day before Christmas right now. We've got college football, full slate of games tomorrow. We've got the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, checking in studio. When he joins us, we're going to talk the Deutsche Bank Championships, the FedEx Cup, some PGA Golf with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. But Cam will join me on tonight's Morenci Unfiltered, and we'll get Cam's thoughts on week one of the college board. Let's talk some fantasy football right now with Roto Expert, SportsGrid.com. Greg Sussman joins us via Skype. Greg, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Hey, Gabe, what's doing, man?
All right, let's rock and roll. You know, Greg, I opened up the show. I did a monologue off the top, and I always tell people, you know, we had that Fantasy Cup draft a little bit earlier. But when you're playing in high cash leagues, you're playing when, you know, there's a lot of money at stake, you always want to wait until at least week three of the preseason is done. And then, boom, people did wait. And then Teddy Bridgewater gets hurt after the fact. But Bridgewater's injury is more a situation that is being discussed in the real world than the fantasy world, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, not to be like a total dick, but like, is there any other quarterback that we could lose and really not feel any effects in fantasy about? Because I don't know if there is. Teddy Bridgewater's injury, it sucks. It's gruesome. It's terrible for the Vikings. But for our purposes, Adrian Peterson's stock doesn't really change. Stephon Diggs is kind of annoying, but he was a wide receiver four, if anything. Laquon Treadwell was a desperation play. It doesn't really affect anything in Minnesota.
Yeah, you're right. It's cold to say. I was thinking about that. Like, maybe Gabbert, you know, because, you know, there's no one really. Torrey Smith is in that same category as Diggs, really. But in the real world, and it really proves the difference of the perception, though. Everyone really cares about their fantasy teams nowadays. And like I said earlier in the program, Teddy Bridgewater isn't a good fantasy quarterback. He's a hell of a real good quarterback. You know, he's a winning quarterback. He's a game manager quarterback. It's still a young quarterback that could get better. But let's talk about a player that the initial player that, you know, people are wondering, does it have an impact on? And quickly, I'll just say my opinion. I say it has zero impact on AP whatsoever. What's your call like on AP? Does it move him at all?
I would not move him one iota. I couldn't agree with you more. The thing is, we have to remember, Adrian Peterson has played with terrible quarterbacks his entire career. Christian Ponder, Tavarish Jackson. Every quarterback he's played with outside of Brett Favre has always been awful. So pairing him with Sean Hill does nothing for me. He doesn't change a damn thing.
And if anything, a lot of people are like, oh, they're going to stack the line. What do you think of this? You can make an argument that Sean Hill is a more established and better passing quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater is. It actually might open things up for AP a bit. If they come out and Hill's hitting passes, and there might be like, oh, damn, we can't stack the box. They keep throwing deep to Diggs with Hill here. You know, like, I think there's a perception somehow that Hill's going to turn around and hand the ball off 45 times and they're not going to throw it at all. Sean Hill's a guy that's completed 62% of the passes in his NFL career. 17 and 18 as a starter, Greg, playing on some really crappy football teams.
Absolutely. You know, I've been a fan of him since Maryland, of course. And Sean Hill, yeah, he was awful with the Rams. He got benched for Austin Davis. I understand all of that. But I believe Teddy Bridgewater had, 14 touchdowns last year? Can Sean Hill do that? Well, why not? He's going to be able to get the ball out. You can make the argument that he throws a better deep ball than Teddy Bridgewater. Sean Hill is not going to just be nobody being a quarterback, right? Like, it's not like nobody's handing the ball off. It's not like nobody is just going to be able to pass it. He's an established backup in this league. He's a veteran. It's not like some rookie we've never seen before. He's been around the block. Sean Hill, you could do much, much worse than him. I hate to say it, and I hate to be cold, like you mentioned, but there's nothing wrong with Sean Hill. It doesn't change anything for Adrian Peterson. It changes very minimal for Stephon Diggs. This offense, for our purposes, it means nothing.
$5,000 he is on DraftKings.
More than Dak Prescott.
So is Dak. Who would you rather have? I'd rather have Dak because he's going to have to put up numbers in that game against the Giants.
Absolutely. You always think that game's going to be a shootout. Dak Prescott has Dez Bryant. Sean Hill doesn't.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. Dak Prescott throws for at least two and runs for one. Like, he's going to put numbers up against the Giants.
I think he'll definitely put numbers up. I don't know if he's going to run for one as well. I can see him throwing two to Dez easily. If you watch any of the preseason, it's been Dak to Dez. Dak to Dez. Why does that change?
If he doesn't, okay, and if he doesn't run for a touchdown, I'll put it this way, and I don't know if you know this, Greg, but I'm a gambling man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't even know that you knew that, me and Pete Rose. There's going to be rushing props for Dak Prescott. You know what I mean? Under 12 and a half yards, 16 and a half yards or what have you. You know, in the last game, which was quote unquote as real as it got in the first half, two carries for 12 yards. You know, but, you know, the Seahawks aren't the Giants. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't shock me if he pops one for 24 yards next Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. You're telling me 12 and a half, 16 and a half, I'll take the over every time. I think it's very easy. You scramble out, you have one long run, you're there. And that's all you're asking for. You're not, like, asking for the moon. I don't know if he rushes, like I said, for a touchdown. You know, you can throw it up to Dez. That's kind of the priority.
All right, so you mentioned Stephon Diggs. Another case in which Diggs is a good player that helps a very good football team win football games. But how does he help your fantasy team? You know, I was looking at the category that Diggs is in, and last night I was in a draft, and I saw Diggs was there, but I also saw Vincent freaking Jackson was there. Willie Snead was there. And I'm thinking, do I want Diggs on this offense? Or do I want Willie Snead in the Saints offense with that pathetic defense? And I tell you, everyone's raving about Evans, but Jameis Winston has a good rapport with Vincent Jackson, too. So really, like, Diggs is just sort of there, isn't he? It's like, good football player, but I don't really want him on my team.
You said it perfectly about Stephon Diggs. He's a good football player. He's going to help make the Vikings better. But for our fantasy teams, it's seemingly you're always going to find a better option. You mentioned Vincent Jackson and Willie Snead. You talked about Torrey Smith before. I think cases can be made for all of them. Both Vincent Jackson and Willie Snead obviously play in much better offenses in Tampa and New Orleans. They're going to score a lot more points. The offense in Minnesota was never to throw it 50 times a game. You're going to see Drew Brees do that. You may see Jameis Winston do that. You're not going to see Sean Hill do that. That's for sure. And even Torrey Smith, in Chip Kelly's offense, it excites me more than doing anything in Minnesota.
Yeah, okay. Before we get you out of here, Greg, I was big on Laquon Treadwell in college at Ole Miss. He sort of reminded me of a Dez Bryant type. He's not a speed burner, but he doesn't shy away from going up and getting a ball. I've seen him, like, rip the ball out of defenders' hands in the air. You know, an aggressive player. Not killing it. Yet, from, like you said, from a fantasy standpoint, he might as well be a punter. You know what I mean? Like, he's just sitting there. Yeah, in my opinion, after Dawson, he's the second most gifted athletic guy in this rookie class. He's very good. I'm hearing that he's more of a possession guy with Minnesota. The Diggs is the playmaker, but that they do like Treadwell, but he's going to be more of a possession guy. But I think that the jury has found Treadwell guilty a little too soon, man. The kid might be a hell of a lot better than people know, but once again, he's on the Vikings, so we got to wait and see.
Well, let's not forget each of the last 2 years in the middle of the season, Stephon Diggs. Last year, Charles Johnson, the year before. Even though he may not start out the year playing at all, and people may call him raw, and they say he doesn't understand the playbook, he's not there yet, he may very well may have the value in the middle of the year. You said it, Gabe. He may be the most physically gifted athlete outside of Josh Dobson in this wide receiver class. If that is true and it comes to fruition, week 5 or 6, everyone may be running on the waiver wire. I think Laquon Treadwell.
Greg Sussman with us. Always a pleasure, Greg. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate it, Gabe. Thank you.
There's Greg Sussman with us. All right, we take a quick break. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, joins me in studio coming up next. Game time positions on the Fantasy Sports Network as we welcome the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, in to the studio to save the show. Basically,
no, I'll do my best, baby.
Yeah, no pressure at all. But it's funny, like, there was, like, we had that CNN delay going on with Mark Lawrence.
Like, he's in
Beirut.
Yeah,
like, I asked the question. So, what do you think of Temple and Army?
Well, Gabe.
No, it was like a 30, like a long. Well, Temple has to be happy that Army's coming to town. And then I crack a joke, and it just, like, fell on dead.
That's a beautiful thing. I laugh at all the jokes, right?
And
just bring me in.
He countered with a soup Nazi joke from the Seinfeld.
And you weren't down with it?
Well, I just didn't understand how, like, the soup Nazi had anything to do with, like, fantasy football drafts.
They have nothing to do with each other.
He said, I hope there was no soup Nazi at your fantasy football draft.
I don't really know what that means either.
No, like, I wasn't holding my draft at a soup kitchen. Greg Sussman just joined us. Audio wasn't great.
Young Tony Stewart, Sussman.
Yeah, young Tony Stewart. But the difference between Sussman and Stewart is Sussman hasn't killed anybody.
You bring up good points.
As far as we know. I'm willing to bet a lot of money that Sussman hasn't killed anybody.
No.
He's one of the straighter guys on the network, I think. I think I scared him at the Fantasy Cup draft, actually. But nevertheless,
how did your drafts go, Morenci?
I'm doing okay.
I did 3 in 24 hours. You know me, when I go up to see the Italians in Woodbridge, I get the beautiful, beautiful racks of lamb, beef, provolone, olives, $100 dinner with open bar. I go bonkers.
And speaking of which, we should bring up.
Yeah.
You can come out and hang with me and Cam. It's an open bar if you give the bartender money.
Exactly.
So you can come out and hang with us. At Shark Club Toronto, Young and Dundas, very, very classy establishment.
Nice. It's
beautiful,
nice.
Beautiful place. It's free. I know it's filling up, but it's free to enter, guys. Go to fntsy.com/league. It's free to enter. You put together a team. Think like a bowling team. So you get together a bunch of your buddies.
Yeah,
you come
out.
You all, we all pick. And the winner's going to get a $500 bar tab at Shark, at the Shark Club.
That's all right.
And I was joking last week, Cam. I said, for a lot of guys, if Feinberg and his buddies won, or if, Drew and Mikey and his buddies won, $500 tab lasts the season.
Not me.
They're all like, oh, yeah, we'll go to Sharks. And, they'll leave and $37 off the card. And I said, if me and Cam got a $500 tab, that's like a Sunday afternoon. Like, if we had $500 between us, we'd be comfortable for the day at the bar.
Remember when you, my girlfriend, and we were at Shoeless Joe's, won our bill, like, $390? That was before we got into the Shooters. Like, that was a regular Sunday afternoon in the NFL season.
That's why I don't like going to sports bars.
I know. Bring your holograms.
We're all stressed out. $1,000 on a game. Give me another double Jager. $16. You're all hammered, giving tip into big-breasted waitress. Hey,
that's
guy,
true.
There's another $5 for you, baby. Just bring me some luck on the Charger game. And then I end up leaving all disgruntled and angry night.
You walked out with a stranger, too. You go, we got a night game to bet on. Let's go, buddy. Some guy from Wisconsin you just met there.
Yeah, I
don't know what the hell you're doing.
We went and watched it.
The Seahawk game.
Yeah, we
had good times.
Had some gambling to do with a stranger.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So nevertheless, speaking of gambling, let's talk PGA golf. I did not gamble on Patrick Reed.
But you had Grillo finish second.
I believe, daylight dollar short.
80-1.
I was even talking about taking him to be top T10, top five.
Yep.
Patrick Reed, every week all you guys are talking about Patrick Reed. He never freaking wins, so he finally wins an important tournament.
Yeah, I was just sitting there at my fantasy draft, and I had everybody on the leaderboard, the usual Morenci, but Patrick Reed. The week I jump off, I'm like Siwoo Kim. It's like, what the hell's going on here? Anyway, I'll tell you something, buddy. Certain golfers, when you take them, you have to ride them like a horse for like a long period. Yeah, it's like one of those guys, like, because when they win,
like Feinberg did with Dustin.
Yeah, when they win and you're not on them, the pain that you're gonna feel for all the times that you did bet them, trust me. And there's a lot of tools out there.
It's almost like not playing your favorite lottery.
Lottery numbers, exactly.
So when you saw Reed, did you like get the pit of your stomach sink, like, oh.
Yeah, it was like a Zantac moment, like the heartburn's like in my throat, and they're all the Italian guys at the draft are already needling me because I'm broke. Eh? All their wallets are really thick, and I'm like going, hey, man, this dinner for $100 sounds expensive, like Enterprise Rent-A-Car, but anyway.
Right, so TPC Boston.
Yes, I like this track.
Top 100 players in the world right now. I believe this is the final tournament that there'll be a cut, right?
Yep, and then,
more cuts after this.
Things get real.
So TPC Boston, low scores have been the past, and low scores are expected this weekend. Jason Day's the favorite at +650. DJ, second choice at 10-1. Rory's 12-1. Stenson's got a bad knee.
Yep.
Listed at 14-1. I've been hanging around my boy Cam long enough. blessing long enough that their long shot theories are starting to rub off on me. Let me throw a couple of names at you, Kent. A guy that I know you often take, Brooks Koepka, catching my eye in 40-1.
Got to be honest with you, day late, dollar short. I had him last week, Morenci, but I expect big things from Koepka this week. This is a good course for him. And another loser that let me down last week, Hideki Matsuyama, will be on my card this week because you're getting these guys. They used to be 20-1, but because they played bad last week, you're getting them at 40-1. It's like a stock. I'm buying low and hoping for good results. I'm
not used to the cam. If I lean in too much,
it gets the top of your cranium.
That's it. I'm leaning in.
Wow, you're today. You did a good job. You got some new product in there.
I got a really unhealthy hue going on here, man.
The top of your head looks pretty shiny.
I got problems. All right. It's pretty sad. Like when I look in the mirror, it's like Mr. Burns when he sees his felt old man like Hugh Hefner. Like I used to look in the mirror and see Johnny Depp. Now I look in the mirror, I see Jim Furyk. I'm like, I look like Jim Furyk now. Jim Furyk, 45-1.
I don't like him.
No, you don't like Jim.
Not this week, Morenci, no. Right. But I have a feeling
I finished fourth here last year.
I know he did. He actually shot, the 58th.
Why don't
this
you
year.
Like Jim Furyk?
The problem with Jim Furyk is when you take this guy and he doesn't hit fairways, done. Yeah, no, actually, you're a better
looking. He's a cross between.
I got to be honest with you, you're better looking than Jim Furyk. And he's got a huge honker compared to you, too. His nose is a lot.
No, you're right. I don't put myself say I'm better looking than a lot of guys, but I am better looking than Jim Furyk. I appreciate that.
I agree. And that's just straight up facts. Jim Furyk, if he doesn't hit fairways and greens, of course, this course has played too long for him. I'm not down with his program. I want more value.
All right, you never take Jim Furyk.
I do have a couple. I'm taking Emiliano Grillo.
Okay, all right. I'm going to Las Vegas in a couple of days, and you're going in a couple of days. Unfortunately, you're going a couple of days after.
Yeah, those guys are paying for my flight. They cheaped out.
Yeah, we're both. I don't know if I can share my NFL opinions with you anymore.
Not anymore, buddy.
We're competitors.
I know. That's
Everybody wants to be a millionaire, huh?
Yep, you
million
got that
dollar
right.
Top prize, Las Vegas Super Contest. But speaking of all kidding, just speaking of Las Vegas, about the Hoff, Charlie Hoffman. Charlie Hoffman, 70-1.
On my list.
UNLV, go fight, win.
Listen about Charlie.
UNLV, what a great fight, Si.
No, I love
it. It's all they say in Vegas. Go fight, win.
Know who else went to UNLV?
And go bet, win.
What other golfer went to UNLV? Moops, Ryan Moore. He's a running rebel. Not bad, eh? I love Hoffman. Two top 25s since last
year. You like him this week?
T13 at the Barclays, 27th in the FedEx Cups. You're damn right. Charlie Hoffman is in my six pack at 70-1. Watch out for him this week.
Yeah, you know
Super
what?
Super pooch.
I got a feeling about Hoffman. I'm going to Vegas.
Vegas?
I'm going to be at the book. Everyone's going to be on the football. I'm going to look up. I'm going to
see
how
Charlie Hoffman
on Charlie
at the top
Hoffman
of the leaderboard.
Right
baby.
Now. All right. Before we get to your picks and your six pack here, last guy, this isn't a fat number, but if I'm looking at the shorter price guys, Adam Scott, 20-1.
Adam Scott is my first pick in my six pack, Morenci. And I'll tell you something. You look at the stats, tee to green last week, first on the PGA Tour. Me and my buddy Jeff were talking about it. If the guy could hit a damn putt, he would have won by 8 strokes. It happens with Hideki a lot. But Adam Scott will hit some of those 16 footers this week. They will drop. And at 22-1, I would rather take a guy at the top tier. Like the other guys are 10, 12, 14. Yeah. Wouldn't you rather have a world-class player and get 8 to 10 more? But you know what I mean? I'm getting Adam Scott at 22. And Rory's what, 10?
Yeah.
12? No, thanks. Rory could win, but I like the value of Scott at 22-1 for a world-class player.
All right, Cam, you and I are going to talk some football on Morenci Unfiltered this evening. Mm-hmm. And we've been designating Morenci Unfiltered for Cam's CFL football takes, but college football, boom. Yeah, you ready?
I already got a couple picks for you, Morenci. Chomp, chomp, chomp. Am I a Beaver or a Gopher? I'm going with the Minnesota Golden Gophers against my Oregon State Beavers, -12.5. And watch out, it's the Battle of Colorado, Rams versus Buffs.
Ooh.
I'll tell you something. I don't like what Colorado State did. I think the second string quarterback's actually better than the first. I love it. Minnesota and Colorado teased and straight up.
Ooh, listen to
the
Cam
game.
coming out firing.
Yeah.
You know what? When I heard you just say Colorado and Colorado State, I thought for sure. You're going to take the Rams
not
plus 7.5.
You know what? The Buffs program is getting better and better, and because they're in the Pac-12 now, don't you think the talent level is going to be better?
I think
they're a team that's going to compete and cover a lot of spreads this year. Watch out for the Buffaloes as a big booch.
Yeah, I've been betting college football for a long time, and I remember the early days. It used to be automatic money. We'd take Colorado in this game.
Yeah.
Always at Mile High Stadium. The Buffaloes used to be national championship contenders. They were now co-national champions. Powerful program. They used to knock the snot out of Colorado State.
They did. Cordell Stewart, Eric Bieniemy, Westbrook. Remember, those were some good players.
All right. Now, you know what, Cam? Like, now I fell into the trap. I just said we're going to talk football tonight on the show.
Oh, sorry.
You gave the picks now.
Well, you told me about
college.
And
now they're telling me in the headset. No, I said we're talking college tonight. Like, I got picks now. And then they're telling me in the headset. He never gave his six-pack.
Oh, okay. You want the six-pack?
Yes. Yeah, the six-pack.
Everybody loves a six-pack, right, Morenci? We're going to start with Gabe's boy, Adam Scott, 22-1. As I mentioned before, he won this event in 2003. T4 last week, trending in the right direction. Emiliano Grillo, if you don't play him at 41, you're nuts. He's the hottest player in the world right now. T2 last week. This guy's always in the top 15. Every single week he's on the leaderboard, he's 40-1. Hideki Matsuyama let me down last week, but before that, a top three and a T4 at the PGA Championship. If he can hit a couple putts. Billy Horschel, another bulldog. I know I had him there. Morenci, he's been great. T13 at the Barclays, T5 at the Wyndham. This guy just shows up at every event. He loves the competition. And Charlie Hoffman, your guy, 70-1, and big hitting Gary Woodland at 75-1. My mini bomb. Go
Gary.
I've
said it before, SEC guys are the worst, Cam. We've gotten people on Twitter saying you can't call Horschel a bulldog since he's a Gator.
He is a Gator. That's true.
No, he's a bulldog.
You're right. He is a Gator, but he's a fighter. He likes to fight.
I know, but it's amazing, like the little things that people notice.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're like, I enjoy the golf hit with Cam, but you know, don't call Horschel a bulldog. I know what
he
means.
Oh, I didn't mean it like that.
I know.
Yeah, like, I could have told you he's a Florida Gator. No, chomp,
exactly.
Chomp,
you
chomp,
mean
chomp,
he's a grinder. Right? He's a bulldog.
Yeah, that's what I'm just going to call him Grinder from now on, okay?
Yeah, I know, because you're pissing off Florida Gator fans.
Yeah, you did too when we went down there.
Oh, yeah, I'm pissing him off in person.
Gator fan plus Morenci equals trouble.
This is props to Jonah Carey's tweet yesterday. He said, hey, I saw Tim Tebow was 8-19. In the batting cage yesterday. Yep. That's better than he's ever done in any NFL game passing. All right, we're going to come back with our plays of the day next. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. Let's start off with some CFL action. Very, very strange, man. Some Wednesday night CFL action. Hey, I'll take it. It's like a big amusement park, basically, for a couple of weeks. So just imagine like a state fair, but it hasn't translated very well. They already lost in this situation. The Argos, you know, they're okay. They're not great. BC's been one of the better teams in the Canadian Football League this year. I trust BC's offense more than I trust the Argos offense, but I think the Argos offense is going to get a little bit of a pop tonight. I like this game to be a higher scoring game, but I still think BC is going to win the game. I'm not in love with it, but I'm going to lay the three. We're going to start firing off the rounds tomorrow night, baby, with the college of football. But let's go Lions -3 and the over. A little Major League Baseball for you. Gallardo's been a train wreck. Aaron Sanchez is a stud. We'll lay to 50 cents with the Jays. The Mets, let's keep on betting the Mets. They keep on winning, and the Marlins can't hit the baseball. And, hey, countdown is on. NFL football. I told you off the start of the show that only real, pure, degenerate gamblers bet on week 4 of preseason games. So let's take the under tonight. You know what? These guys just want to get out of there. They're going to run the ball. Other than that, you're on your own.